ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टपायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। इन फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट 40। एवं व्रत स्वप्रिय नाम कीर्त्या जातानुराग द्रुत चित्त उच्चे हस्ते अथो रोदिति रौति गायति उन्मादवन्नित्यति लोकभायः। एवं व्रत स्वप्रिय नाम कीर्तया जातु नरागुद्रुत चित्त उच्चे हस्ति अथ रोदति रौति गायति उन्मादवन्नित्यति लोकभायः। एवं व्रत स्वप्रिय नाम कीर्तया जातानुराग द्रुत चित्त उच्चे हस्ति अथो रोदिति रौति गायति उन्मादवन्नित्यति लोकभायः। एवं व्रत स्वप्रिय नाम कीर्तया जातानुराग द्रुत चित्त उच्चे हस्ति अथो रोदिति रौति गायति उन्मादवन्नित्यति लोकभायः। एवं व्रत स्वप्रिय नाम कीर्तया जातानुराग द्रुत चित्त उच्चे हस्ति अथो रोदिति रौति गायति उन्मादवन्नित्यति लोकभायः। माताजी, एवं व्रत स्वप्रिय नाम कीर्तया अथो अनुराग द्रुत चित्त उच्चे हस्ति अथो रोदिति रौति गायति उन्मादवन्नित्यतिलोकभायः एवं व्रतस्वप्रियनामकीर्त्या जातानुरागदुतचेतौच्छै हस्ति अथ रोदति रौति गायति उन्मादवन्नित्यतिलोकभायः एवं व्रतः. When one thus engages in the vow to chant and dance, Sva, own, Priya, very dear, Naam, holy name, Kirtaya, by chanting, Jata, in this way develops, Anuraga, attachment, Drutta Chitta, with a melted heart, Uchehe, loudly. Hasati, laughs. Atho, also. Roditi, cries. Rauti, becomes agitated. Gayati, chants. Unmadavatta, like a madman. Nrityati, dancing. Lokbhaya, without caring for outsiders. Translation. By chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord, one comes to the stage of love of Godhead. Then the devotee is fixed in his vow as an eternal servant of the Lord, and he gradually becomes very much attached to a particular name and form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As his heart melts with ecstatic love, he laughs very loudly or cries or shouts. Sometimes he sings and dances like a madman, for he is indifferent to public opinion. So we'll take the purport from where it was left yesterday. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this connection, Shripad Madhvacharya has quoted a verse from the Varaha Purana. Kechit unmadvat bhakta bhaya linga padashyakah Kechit antara bhaktasyu, kechit chaiv obhya atmakah, mukha prasadat bhadrachcha, bhaktir na chanyatah. Some devotees of the Lord exhibit external symptoms, acting like madmen. Others are introspective devotees. And still others partake of both natures. It is by one's steadfastness and by the merciful vibrations emanating from one's mouth that one's devotion can be judged. Not otherwise. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given a very nice example to illustrate ecstatic laughing and other symptoms of love of Godhead. Oh, that thief Krishna, the son of Yashoda, has entered the house to steal the fresh butter. Grab him, keep him away. Hearing these menacing words spoken by the elderly gopi, Jarati, Krishna immediately prepares to leave the house. The devotee to whom this transcendental pastime is revealed laughs in ecstasy. But suddenly he can no longer see Krishna. He then cries in great lamentation. Oh, I achieved the greatest fortune in the world, and now that suddenly slipped from my hands. Thus the devotee cries loudly, Oh my Lord, where are you? Give me your answer. The Lord answers, My dear devotee, I heard your loud complaint, and so I have again come before you. Upon seeing Lord Krishna again, the devotee begins to sing. Today my life has become perfect. Thus overwhelmed with transcendental bliss, he begins to dance like a madman. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also notes that the word drutta chitta, or with a melted heart, indicates that one's heart, melted by the fire of anxiety to see the Lord, becomes like Jambunadi, a river of rose apple juice. The Acharya further points out, Naam Kirtanasya Sarvota Karsham. The present and previous verse clearly distinguish the exalted position of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, chanting and hearing the name and glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also emphasized this by quoting, Hare Ranama, Hare Ranama, Hare Ranama Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nasti Eva Nasti, Eva Nasti Eva Gatir Anyatha. In this age of Kali, there is no alternative. There is no alternative. There is no alternative for spiritual progress. but the holy name, the holy name, the holy name of the Lord. In his purpose to Chaitanya Charitamrit, Adi Leela 7.76, Srila Prabhupada has given an elaborate explanation of this verse. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Smriti Thakur recommends that we study the following verse in this connection. Parivadatato jano yatha tathava nanu mukharo na vayam vicharya amaha hari ras madira madati matta vi virthamu natamo nirvishamaha. Let the garrulous populace say whatever they like. We shall pay them no regard. Thoroughly maddened by the ecstasy of the intoxicating beverage of love for Krishna, we shall enjoy life running about, rolling on the ground and dancing in ecstasy. Padyavali 73. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaurtushe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhayascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Evam Vrata Supriya Nama Kirtya Jata Anuraga Dutta Chitta Ucche Hasti Atho Roditi Rauti Gayati Unmadavan Nityati Lok Bhaya. By chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord, one who comes to the stage of love of Godhead, one comes to the stage of love of Godhead, then the devotee is fixed in his vow as an eternal servant of the Lord, and he gradually becomes very much attached to the particular name and form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As his heart melts with ecstatic love, he laughs very loudly or cries or shouts. Sometimes he sings and dances like a madman, for he is indifferent to public opinion. Hare Krishna. Seeking the blessings of all the devotees assembled, especially Radha Gopinath Prabhu and other senior devotees. So, it's a very ecstatic verse. At the same time, it's a very challenging verse. I was eager to speak on it also, and at the same time, I realized my limitations. And someone offered me, we can exchange the verses. I said, no, I don't want to. Mainly because this verse is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm not saying that. It's not because it's come to me. But this is what is in the dialogue between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ishwar Puri. So, We'll just be seeing how this verse is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. And what prominent pastimes take in Chaitanya Leela just centered around this verse. Just see the chronology of the verses that lead to this essence of what Nimi Maharaj is speaking. And deal how it actually relates to a sadhaka bhakta, because it's basically talking of love of Godhead, but it has many multiple meanings or different angles of vision, you can say. Philosophical speculation is some license given to the speaker. So, and we'll deal with some other aspects, specifically of the holy name and public opinion, time permitting. So whatever I can, I will try to. So, it's a difficult verse in the sense even Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami himself is saying in the Madhya Leela, I think this verse is, says, Shuddha Prema Sukha Sindhu Paya Tara Ek Bindu Sei Bindu Jagat Dupaya Karibara Yogya Nai Tathapi Bole Kayo Kahile Va Keba Pati Yai. Said if one receives this ocean of love of Krishna is like a vast ocean. If one receives even a drop of it, that one drop is enough to drown the whole world. It is not befitting to express such love of Godhead. Yet a madman must speak. But even though he speaks, no one believes him. So, though this verse is dealing with the love of Godhead, it's difficult to express even for one who is in love. So what to say of one who is really struggling to practice devotional service. So we'll just try to scratch on the top of this verse whatever we can according to our limitations. I'll just read the alternative readings that Srila Prabhupada writes actually in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and at some other places. The most common translation is this that he has given. When a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, cries, becomes agitated and chants like a madman, not caring for outsiders. This is the translation that is commonly repeated all over. But there is one another interesting that he uses, I think it's in the Narad Bhakti Sutra, where he's translated till, I think, shloka number 8. And this is what he's writing in one of the purports. A person engaged in the devotional service of the Lord in full Krishna consciousness automatically becomes carried away by ecstasy when he chants and hears the holy name of Krishna. His heart becomes slackened while chanting the holy name. He becomes almost like a madman and he does not care for any outward social conventions. Thus sometimes he laughs, sometimes he weeps, sometimes he cries out very loudly, sometimes he sings and sometimes he dances and forgets himself. Vishwanath Chari Thakur, from the translation of Bhanu Swami, this is what he translates. Regulated with such devotion, chanting the name of his dear Krishna, he develops prema. His heart melts and he laughs loudly, weeps, wails and sings. He dances like a madman without regard for the public. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Varanasi. He's actually traveled all the way to Vrindavan, experienced ecstatic emotions there. And Balbhadra, not being able to handle the public opinion about this, in the sense that they're all crowding around Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And seeing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is overwhelmed by this ecstatic love, prods him to move fast out of Vrindavan. And on his way back, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again stops at Varanasi. He stays there for a couple of months. It is during these months that he actually instructs Sri Sanatana Goswami. He's staying in the house of Tapan Mishra. And there he associates with his devotees, Chandrasekhar, Tapan Mishra and some other Brahmanas. The Mayavadi sannyasis, headed by Prakashanand Saraswati, are very disturbed on seeing the ecstatic emotions displayed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they start criticizing him and his behavior. The devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are not able to tolerate this. And therefore they prod Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, push him that please you should, you know, counter these Vedantists with your, with the philosophy, with your Vaishnava philosophy. But Mahaprabhu is not actually interested in debate. But seeing the distress of his devotees, he is impelled to take up this task. Not that he wants to argue, not that he wants to prove a point, but he just can't see the distress of his devotees. So just when he's having this conversation with Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar, a Brahman walks in and offers an opportunity to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to please come and dine with him, to have prasad, where he has called the different other sannyasis residing in Varanasi. This is thus just being inspired by the Lord in his heart. He comes at the right opportune moment. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking this as an excuse, agrees to this invitation so that he can mitigate the distress of his devotees. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes and meets Prakashan and Saraswati there, and they have, Mahaprabhu sits in a very humble way, in a very lowly position, and Prakashan and Saraswati picks him up, and a lot of things that follow. But coming to the point of discussion, and Prakashan and Saraswati, and his followers, ask this question to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rest is fine. You know, we can see that you are a self-realized soul. But why you dance and chant like a madman? Why do you make this display of emotions? You know, we are not able to understand this. A sannyasi is supposed to study Vedanta. He is supposed to be absorbed in that. That is his spiritual duty. Leaving that, why are you dancing like a madman? And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, well, this is not my mistake. You know, it's not that I'm doing. It's just that the holy name is impelling me to do this. And then he narrates his conversation with Ishwarpuri. Says, when I went and took Diksha from Ishwarpuri, immediately on receiving this holy name, I became mad with ecstasy. He says, what is this? Diksha, basically, D is for Divya Gyan. It's supposed to give transcendental knowledge. And Sha is the cutting of sins, the finishing of sins. So that is Diksha. So it's supposed to give transcendental knowledge. But by chanting these holy names, my knowledge appears to be covered. I am bewildered. How can this be possible? So I should go and ask my guru, what is this that is happening to me? So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually is showing that how even on the transcendental platform of love of Godhead, one is still supposed to consult his guru, still be under his shelter and take his advice. And there he comes and meets Ishwarpuri. And Ishwarpuri is very very happy to see the condition of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is the conversation this takes place. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually expresses himself like a fool. He said, my guru said, I'm a fool. So better I just chant this holy name and not study Vedanta. He says, Kiba mantra dila gosai, kiba tara bal, japite japite mantra karila pagal, premara swabhava bhakta hase kande gaye, Unmat hoye nache iti uti dhaye. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking this question to him. He says, what is this type of mantra that you have given? After I have received this mantra, I am just bewildered. I am acting like a madman. Am I following the process properly? You know, if someone says, okay, you know, this is what you are going to get. The first thing probably that you are going to think in your mind is, you mean to say that devotional service is injurious to the psychological health of a personality? This is what is going to happen to him? So, but Ishwarpuri is very happy when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this. And he says, Premara Swabhava Bhakta Hase Kande Gaye, Unmata Hoye Nache Iti Uti Dhaye. It is very good, my dear child, that you have attained the supreme goal of life by developing love of Godhead. Thus you have pleased me very much, and I am very much obliged to you. My dear child, continue dancing, chanting and performing Sankirtan in association with devotees. Furthermore, go out and preach the value of chanting Krishna Nam, for by this process you will be able to deliver the fallen souls. Ed bali ek shloka shikhaye lo more, bhagvetar sar ei bale vare vare. Saying this, my spiritual master taught me a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the essence of all the Bhagavatam's instructions. Therefore he recited this verse again and again. So this is the verse that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then quotes and says that this is the sar of Sri Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll just try to understand by whatever tiny understanding we have that how this is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam and how King Nimi is actually leading to it. We can see the comparisons, and if you see the questions asked, they are the same questions asked repeatedly all over Srimad Bhagavatam. The first question he is asking is Atyantikam Kshemam. What is the good for everyone? This is what even, you know, the Shaunak Rishi and others ask Sudh Goswami. This is the very first question. What is good for everyone? You know, the first six questions that they're asking. Please tell me that. And the same questions are again coming in the Samvad of Vidur and Maitreya Muni. The same is coming between Arjun and Krishna. He's asking what is best for me. But basically he's, by asking that, he's saying that please tell what is best for everyone. Yeah. And the very same common topic is taken everywhere. You know, if you see the foundational verses of Srimad Bhagavatam that come in the seventh chapter of the first canto where we have the Vyasnavad conversation, it's the same thing. That the living entity is in bewilderment. How is supposed to get out of it? And what is the process? Please define the process. And then what is the result? Shok, moha, bhaya, apaha. And that is what again Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita ho, mahasuchaha. So lamentation, fear, anxiety, they are used interchangeably. But the conclusion is same. Here it is fear that Nimi Maharaj is discussing about. But the conclusion, the process, everything is same. It's not that Nimi Maharaj does not know the process. So when he's asking Kavi, he's already giving the answer himself. He says, so please define devotional service if you think that I'm qualified to hear about it. So I was just thinking that, is it that suddenly that Kavi Maharaj has come to the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam? No. So we just see that how from the answers that he begins, starting from shloka number 33 and reaching up to 40, what exactly he is describing. If we read a little bit with some understanding, we'll understand that what he is describing is what Rupa Goswami is describing in Nectar of Instruction. He's basically Adho Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sang. He's defining the whole process till Prem. So we'll just look into this and continue the discussion. The other pastime actually that we will be discussing is between Haridas Thakur and Gopal Chapal. This is the very same verse that, you know, sets forth the string of actions and reactions that take place in the assembly of Hiranya Manjubdar and Govardhan Majumdar. So, what we'll be seeing is the answers that Kavi starts to give. And that's the 33rd verse where he says, well, if you want to be liberated out of fear, the first thing is that you take on the process of Bhagavad Dharma, devotional service. And he says anyone is qualified for that. So the 34th and the 35th verse are basically describing Adho Shraddha, where he says, even ignorant living entities can very easily come to know of the Supreme Personality of Godhead if they adopt these means prescribed by the Supreme Lord Himself. So even one is ignorant, but if he takes this process, yeah, he will receive the final result. So here he's the next shloka he's saying, O King, one who accepts this process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead will never blunder on this path in this world. Even while running with eyes closed, he will never trip or fall. So even though his Shraddha is komal, he does not understand, he does not have knowledge. That is, his Shraddha is just budding. So this is what he is talking. Now, basically the Bhagavad Dharma is talking about devotional service. And as we understand, it can be divided into two parts. One is Vaidhi Bhakti and one is Raganuga Sadhana. So these verses can be applied to both upon the type of understanding we take. So the first he is saying if he is ignorant and if he runs with his eyes closed is like describing a person who's come in touch with devotional service. He has some little faith, budding faith, and he's taking. So this is for Vaidhi Bhakti. But the same thing you can apply to a person who's on the Raganuga stage. He's He is running with his eyes closed, ignorant of the material existence. Because he is so absorbed in Krishna consciousness that he is unaware of the material existence. And therefore he neglects to perform the details of devotional service. And that's why he is just running. He is so absorbed. So this can be related in both ways. The next verse, that is 36, he is talking of how one then engages his body, words, minds and senses. So for the Vaidhi Bhakt, for him to engage all his senses, his mind and body, he has to offer that to Krishna. He cannot do that directly. So he has to come in the association of devotees. So Atau Shraddha Tatha Sadhu Sang. So only when he comes in association of devotees, it is through devotees that he will reach to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is how it can be applied to the Vaidhi Sadhaka. But for the Raghatuka Sadhaka, he is already absorbed. His mind and senses are already absorbed. He is offering everything to Narayan. Then the 37th, we'll just take the part which is more relevant. Therefore, an intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, whom he should accept as his worshipable deity and his very life and soul. So, it's talking of accepting a spiritual master. That is bhajan kriya. So bhajan is basically when you accept a spiritual master, that is from that point that bhajan kriya actually starts. So, but also it's saying that one takes the bona fide spiritual master as his life and soul. This is what applies to the Raghunaga Bhakta. Because he is following the Ragatmika Bhakta, he becomes very attached to this particular devotee and tries to follow in his footsteps. And the 38th verse then deals, therefore how an intelligent person should control the mind, restricting it from the illusion of seeing things separate from Krishna. And when the mind is thus controlled, he will experience factual fearlessness. So in the beginning, the devotee is rising from karma mishra bhakti to jnana mishra bhakti. This is where the stage of anartha nivritti and nishtha is taking place. Because he is fixed, his mind is not anymore bewildered by the material existence. That's why he takes up this process with unflinching devotion. So till here, actually it's the behavior of the Vaidhi Sadhaka and Raghunaga Sadhaka cannot be really differentiated. Because even for the Raghunaga Sadhaka, the regulative principles still are of some importance. But it is from this that both start separating about. So if you see verse 39, this basically deals with Ruchi, Asakti and just the beginning of Bhav. So he's saying an intelligent person who has controlled his mind and conquered fear should give up all attachment to material objects such as wife, family and nation and should wander freely without embarrassment, hearing and chanting the holy names of the Lord, the bearer of the chariot wheel, Ratangapane. The holy names of Krishna are all auspicious because they describe his transcendental birth and activities which he performs within this world for the salvation of the conditioned souls. Thus the holy names of the Lord are sung throughout the world. So this is how he becomes very much attached. He has this taste and this taste develops into attachment. So till here he describes asakti and just the budding of bhav. So it is at this point that this verse comes, which describes prem. So in this way he is just delineating the whole development of devotional service in the previous verses. So if you see, the Srimad Bhagavatam is repetitive. It's saying the same thing again and again and again, but in a different way. And coming to the point of where the devotee is supposed to hanker and develop pure love of Godhead. So, besides, we can see that it's talking about emotions. So the point may be raised, so are we not supposed to discuss about emotions till we don't reach the love of Godhead? No, it's not like that. So Rupa Goswami says it very clearly that one is the external endeavor and one is the bhava aspect, the emotional aspects. So definitely in Vaidhi Bhakti, the external principles or the external aspect of Akhila Cheshtitam has to be followed more strictly and more rigidly. But it is not that one neglects his emotions. He should know under the guidance of the spiritual master how he is supposed to use his emotions. So this shloka is actually describing both the Abhideya That is taking the shelter of the holy name of this, of Krishna. And at this very same time, the prayojan, that is prem, love of Godhead. So we see that Bhagavad Gita starts with sarvadharma, ends with sarvadharma parityaja, mamekam sharanam vara. He is saying that, you know, give up all religions. And the Bhagavatam is starting with dharma, projita, kaitavar, nitmatsaram, satam. So the same thing, it's being continued in Srimad Bhagavatam. Now the essence is this. How one develops his emotions to the fullest. So this is where the Bhagavatam is ending. This is the essence of Bhagavatam. The abhijaya and the prayojan. And this is where Chaitanya Charitamrit begins. Because it's basically dealing with the emotions of a devotee. So that's why it's how it's graduate, postgraduate, the postgraduate study of, undergraduate, graduate and the postgraduate study of the same thing that Krishna is trying to explain throughout. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is taking this opportunity to focus on the abhideya and prayojan and to aspire in the devotee that not only the external activities, but how and what emotions he is supposed to aspire for. So it is not that in the sadhaka stage that one is devoid of any emotions. Right? That is what Prabhupada is actually, the whole, if you see the Pranati mantra is nirvishesh shunyavadi paschatya deshatarine. So the nirvisheshvadi, the impersonalist, try to murder the emotions, right? And so the devotee should also be careful while practicing devotional service. They cannot treat everyone same. Everyone has different emotions. So one has to be careful how the emotions and feelings of the devotees are taken care of. So it's not only in dealing with devotees who are junior and equal, but it's also a suggestion that Sanatana Goswami gives to the spiritual master of how he is supposed to suggest to the devotee or to his disciple that what path he should take in devotional service, where his feelings and inspirations have to be taken care of. So that is the stress that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and all the acharyas are giving, that even in Vairi Bhakti, how the emotions have to be taken care of. So Krishna, the difference between Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is this. So it begins with, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying, anarpita chiram chirat. So he's saying this is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to bestow upon everyone. Love of Godhead. He's tasting himself and giving it out to others. So then in the seventh chapter of the Adi Leela, this is discussed in detail where he says how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exactly is doing this. Sai pancha tattva mili prithvi asiya purva prema bhandere mudra ughadiya. Panche mile lute prema kare aswadan, yata yata piye trishna bade anukshan. Punha punha piyaye yah hoye mahamatta, nache kande hase gaye yachi madamatta. So the characteristics of Krishna are understood to be a storehouse of transcendental love. Although that storehouse of love certainly came with Krishna when he was present, it was sealed. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his associates of the Pancha Tattva, they broke the seal and plundered the storehouse to taste transcendental love of Krishna. The more they tasted it, the more their thirst grew for it. And how did they actually taste and distribute? So Sri Pancha Tattva themselves danced again and again and thus made it easier to drink nectarian love of Godhead. They danced, cried, laughed and chanted like madmen. And in this way, they distributed love of Godhead. So that is the difference between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna. Krishna is saying, surrender. And then you will taste it. Mahaprabhu is saying, just a minute, I'll give you a taste. And then you relish this taste and progress in your surrender. So, and it's not something just to be understood philosophically. This example I give quite often. Like we were with a group of these Western people that we had taken for pilgrimage. And we came for the darshan of Tirupati Balaji. And it's, you know, all very hasty there. You have to move fast. So though they were very eager to have darshan, I was not sure what they are going to actually have darshan of. So by the time we came with this group, the pujari saw us from long, you know. And I don't know what Krishna inspired him. But he just caught my hand and said, you wait here till I don't tell you to move. And I said, oh, okay, really, thank you. And so he said, call everyone. So it was like a group of 15-20 people. So everybody, you know, took their time because they were already so much overwhelmed with the crowd that they were just getting lost. They were not getting lost, you know, seeing Krishna's beauty, but they were just lured by the maddening crowd around. So it took me some time to gather them. And there was this one person, you know, he was just looking down, and Balaji is far, so if you are looking down, you are not going to have any view of the Lord. So I was just looking at him curiously for, you know, some time, and I said, what is this doing? You know, we have just got such unlimited mercy, the Pujari is kind enough to, you know, have such a long darshan, and this person is looking down at what? So I just caught him by the neck and he said, up, look up. And he was like, where? So, and then he had, you know, darshan of this Lord. And by the time we came out, there were at least 2-3 of them who were insensitively just pouring tears and tears. They were just non-stop crying. And they looked at me and said, no, we can never be the same persons again. And I was thinking, my God, you know, what Krishna is inspiring them, I do not know. But the process works. You know, because that is what Mahaprabhu's whole mission is. He'll give you the taste first, which is known as purti. And then he'll say, okay, now, come on, move ahead, there is something. So I asked this person, you know, what were you looking down? You know, what were you looking at? And you know, his innocence really, in one sense, kept me stunned. He said, no, this group, you know, Gaurvani Prabhu was with the group. Said, Gaurvani told me, you know, that they were having darshan of the Lord, because they never had darshan. They didn't know what is darshan. So he said, first you should start looking from the lotus feet of the Lord. So first you should look down and then slowly move up. So this person was looking down and he was just not able to see where the lotus feet are. So he said, no, before I look up, I have to see where the lotus feet are. So you can imagine the background of these persons, you know. But still, this is how the Lord inspires. He just takes that little sincerity, that little spark, and in taking that, he just tries to fan that spark and inspires the devotee in his emotions. We can see that how even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing by his different pastimes. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never came near the deities of Sri Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, because he was always fearful that he'll become ecstatic and he won't be able to come, control his emotions. So he always stood at the Garuda stump, and from there he would have darshan. So once when he was having darshan and looking Jagannath Baldev Subhadra in the form of Krishna, that's how he viewed Jagannath Baldev Subhadra in the form of Shyamsundara Krishna. One Orient lady comes and just climbs on the top of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his shoulders and on the Garuda stump. So her feet is on the Garuda stump and on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Govind, this, you know, is just caught unawares. Before he can do anything, she's already on top of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he starts chastising her and says, come down. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, is up from his stupor. And he says, and he actually chastises Govind. He says, what are you doing? And the term is, he uses his Adivasya. So Adivasya can be translated as Adivasi, that is uncivilized person. But Prabhupada writes in the poet, please also refer to the other shlok, what Adivasya means. And there actually Prabhupada writes, Adivasya also means one who has stayed to the Lord, who has stayed with the Lord for a long time. So it applies correctly to Govinda, that he stayed with the Lord for a long time, but now, though you have stayed, you are still behaving like an uncivilized person. Why don't you understand her feelings? That it is her eagerness for seeing the Lord. Why do you want to extinguish it? Yeah. Our duty as a devotee is to fan that spark, not extinguish it. So that is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is chastising. So Mahaprabhu, though he was always in ecstatic mood and careful of how he's supposed to display, but at times, you know, he displayed the mood. At the same time, he was very careful of he should not transgress Vaishnava etiquette. So we can see one wonderful pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming in Antelila, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hears this Devdasi singing. Now the immediate conclusion that is drawn out, which Krishnadas Kavi Raj Goswami highlights and says, the lesson that the sannyasi is supposed to take is he's not supposed to hear any woman singing. Right? And that's very obvious in terms of how one is supposed to behave in public. But if you read between lines and see the whole chapter, the chapter begins with the description of the disposition of the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where it is said that he is absorbed in ecstatic love of Sri Krishna. And he does not know what he is doing. But at the same time, he is not unaware. Because the pastime that takes place just before this is where this devotee, Ramanand Viswas, is coming along with Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. So Raghunath Bhatt Goswami is traveling with this devotee, Ram Vishwas, And Ram Vishwas is continually chanting the holy name of Krishna. And he wants to serve Raghunath Bhat. So Raghunath Bhat Goswami is very impressed by his humility and his constant chanting. These are the external symptoms of a devotee. Right? So this person is a real devotee of the Lord. And he comes and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very pleased to see him. But at the same time, Raghunath Bhat Goswami, when he tries to introduce this devotee, that is his natural affection that he has developed for this Ram Vishwas. And he wants that he should get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just avoids him. Right? He just avoids. He pays no attention to Ram Vishwas. So this person is constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord. Yeah? He has this desire to serve the Vaishnavas. These are the external symptoms that are so much very obvious. But still Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not pay any attention to him. Because he knows his heart. That he just wants to merge into the Supreme Brahman. That is what his desire is. Right? This is the state of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is very well aware of what the other person is doing. And he is very well aware of his own status of mind. So it may seem that he is absorbed in ecstatic love. But it's not that he cannot sense. Because as one is more absorbed in Krishna, he becomes very much more aware of the feelings of the devotees. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by running madly after this voice that the Devadasi is singing, is at the same time acknowledging the devotional service of this Devadasi. So he comes quite close to the Devadasi. But then, Govind stops him and he says, Govinda, thank you very much. So he's valuing this the service, but because he's a sannyasi, he values in the way that he can do. At the same time, keeping the social convention in mind. So this is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami are saying that one should perform extraneously, at the same time, be careful how one develops his emotions. Yeah? Because emotions form the integral part of one's existence. And one cannot deny them. Yeah, and so even with dealing with devotees, you can, even in terms of institutional requirements, you can't have one law with them. Just under the name of institutional requirement, you cannot impose something. Yeah, so there may be requirement, but at the same time, the condition of the devotee has to be taken care. Because if the devotees are dealing in the name of whatever it is, and this is what the acharyas say, they are in one sense behaving like impersonalists. Because they are denying, because they are placing more emphasis on the external aspect and neglecting the feeling aspect, the emotional aspect. In the sense, they are denying their own feelings. Because they are saying, no, the feelings are subordinate, that is not prime. So in one sense, they want to deny it for themselves. And because they are denying it for themselves, they want to deny it for the rest of them. So in that way, they tend to fall in the trap of impersonalism. So, one should be very careful of how these feelings are developed for himself and for the devotees. So, the whole point of talking of taste is, when one is talking of taste, what he is talking of is actually emotions. That is what has to be tasted. Because if one doesn't develop this param drishtva nirvartate, then he will repose his emotions somewhere. And these emotions inevitably will be captured or reposed in maya. Yeah? The illusory broadcasting network, IBN. That is where actually it will be reposed. Because they have to be dovetailed somewhere. If they are not dovetailed in Krishna's service, they will be inevitably dovetailed in Maya. And that is how the devotee will lose his chance of progressing in devotional service. So though at one time he is paying stress to his external activities, but not taking care of his feelings and emotions, he will again fall in the trap of Maya. So, this is how this verse is actually dealing with both aspects of how the sadhana and the sadhya are same. So, we are already 9:15, so I won't be taking other points. But we can always, we'll just take some points about the holy name and how the feelings that here Kavi is mentioning can also be used as a part of our sadhana. So we'll just see some verses of Tilman Thakur which glorify the holy name. It's for my own purification. Where he says, Jivasya Raghe Madhut Priya Tvam सत्यमितं त्वां परमं वदामि अवर्ण्येथा मधुरक्षराणि गोविंद दामोदर माधवेति सुखवासने त्वमिदमेव सारम् दुखवासने त्वमिदमेव गेयम् देहवासने त्वमिदमेव जाप्यम् गोविंद दामोदर माधवेति ओ माय टंग यू आर फॉन्ड ऑफ स्वीट थिंग्स एंड आर ऑफ डिस्क्रिमिनेटिंग टेस्ट आई टेल यू द हाईएस्ट ट्रुथ विच इज ऑल्सो द मोस्ट बेनिफिशियल प्लीज द सोसाइट दीज स्वीट सिलेबल्स गोविंद दामोदर एंड माधव This is indeed is the essence upon ceasing the affairs of mundane happiness. And this too is to be sung after the cessation of all sufferings. This alone is to be chanted at the time of death of one's material body. Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. This indeed is the essence found upon ceasing the affairs of mundane happiness. And this too is to be sung after the cessation of all sufferings. This alone is to be chanted at the time of death of one's material body. Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. So, this is what the function of this tongue is. Sevan mukehi jivado. Yeah, so it begins with the tongue. So here Prabhupada is actually translating tongue in the sense that all the senses, Prabhupada is saying it's not just by chanting Hare Krishna, but by engaging all the senses, beginning with Krishna, that one achieves pure love of Godhead under the direction of the spiritual master. So here he's saying laugh. So we can laugh at the craziness of this material world as sadhakas and cry out the holy names of Krishna and be mad after the association of the pure devotees and the service to be rendered at that lotus feet. So using this very prayojan as abhideya, we can reach our desired target of love of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada.